Hey, St. Andrews family, it's Pastor Matt back with How the Sausage is Made, and we have a very special guest. This is an audio podcast, so you don't get the advantage of seeing this handsome man, but we have your very own Pastor Sam Reinhardt here with us, all the way from Las Vegas. How you doing, brother?
Man, it is good to be here. You know, it's just great to be here, doing great.
Oh, man, that is awesome. Well, I tell you what, we've been really enjoying this getting to talk about sermons and kind of recap some of the sermon stuff. And so I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the reading coming up, which is from Matthew 18. And in addition to that, just kind of talk to you about your sermon writing process and your new digs out there. You've been out there for a while now, and at Faith Community Lutheran in Las Vegas. So, first off, how's your family doing? How's everybody doing in the Reinhardt house?
Yeah. Special shout out to all those listening from St. Andrews. I miss you guys. I think about you guys all the time. Miss the youth that are there, man. Chicago is a special place in my heart. And so I'm always praying for the saints over there at St. Andrews, but family's good. Athena is doing great. Arthur is 3.5 years old now.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Yeah, he's just growing like a weed, and he is full boyhood. It is a crazy time, but man, it's really good. He's going to be starting T-ball actually tomorrow, T-ball practice.
Oh, boy.
So we're in that stage of parenthood where the kids are starting sports, and man, it's really good. Yeah, Las Vegas is great. It's hot.
I'd imagine this time of year's got to be pretty warm. Yeah.
Yeah. When it's 100 degrees in September, you're like, all right, cool. We're cooling off a little bit.
That's cool. That's cooling off. It's slowing down a little bit.
You know how in Chicago, like 50 degrees in fall is cold, but 50 right. degrees in April, oh, that's a warm front.
Yes. And
so when you've been in 100 degrees, like, oh, we cooling off now.
Okay.
Give me the pumpkin spice latte.
Put the scarf on. Put the scarf on, and I got you.
70 Dude. Degrees outside. My heated seats are on.
Oh my gosh!
It left quick, brother. It left quick.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I think about you and your family often, but especially around February, I think about you guys quite a bit and think maybe it'd be good to go see them.
Out there
in the land of the warmth. Oh, brother. Oh, dude. Well, I appreciate you coming on. You know, we had such fun in our team ministry here for four years out here with you. It was so much fun. And I loved preaching with you, and I loved kind of our discussions. We'd kind of sit in the office and have discussions about sermons and stuff. So as I was coming up on this, I'm preaching this weekend on Matthew 18, but it's not. People think of Matthew 18 as like, oh, it's the reconciliation chapter, mm-hmm. and this goes along with that, but it's that weird parable of the servant who gets forgiven of this gigantic debt, and then immediately upon walking out of being forgiven, he goes and starts choking this dude who owes him like $100 or something, you know? And so I was just kind of thinking, you know, I would love to hear what your thoughts are. You could talk about general parables in general, or this parable, or just kind of like, what are some of your thoughts about that particular parable?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I do when I get the sermon text is I read the text, you know, and like that's pretty obvious thing, but read the text, and then I like to read it again, but this time when I'm reading it the second time, I'll write down the initial questions that I have about the text. And then write down the observations that I have, and then I'll write down just sort of any additional notes. And the first read through, you're not looking for what to preach on. You're reading right. to meditate on the text, because I think one of the biggest difficulties that I have with scripture reading is I'll start to look at it as like this textbook, or I'll read it as like, oh, okay, what's the lesson that I have to distill from this, rather than letting the word form me.
Right.
And so I'll read it, and then I'll read it again. And then on that third read through, I'll start to be like, okay, what are some big themes that are jumping out to me?
Right.
And And I try to see those themes that jump out to me and then compare it to maybe what the hearers need. You know, what do the people in the congregation need? And really, if you want to be a better preacher, you got to know the people you're preaching to. Otherwise, you're just
Ain't
giving
that the
people a
truth?
lecture, you know?
Right.
And
Yeah.
you got to know what the hearers need. And to know your hearers, you got to know your people. Got to love your people. And knowing people, we have a lot of debt and we have a lot of need for forgiveness. And so
Amen.
obviously those two jump out immediately about, hey, there's a debt here, there's forgiveness here. And well, now where's God in the text? Where's Christ in the text? And where do I fit in the text? And parables are really easy to know where I am in the text because I'm the bad guy.
Yeah,
I'm
I'm not
never
the
the good
hero.
guy in the text.
Yeah,
Like, got that
exactly.
down pat, man. We're ready.
Yeah, if there's a character in the text who's boneheaded or who just doesn't do anything,
Yeah.
it's usually us.
Yeah, like simultaneously in Matthew 18, man, I'm the guy that's getting choked, but sometimes I want to be the one that's like choking people, like, hey, give me what you owe me.
Exactly.
But I'm so ignorant to what I owe others. You know,
Oh.
humans are really good at pointing the blame at other people and not looking at themselves. And
It's one of those things. I think the thing that struck me earlier, like when I preached on Matthew 18 last week, and he's talking about, being childlike, become he has to, yeah, unless you turn and become like children. That's really struck me, because it was like he's acknowledging that, man, we get lost on the wrong track all the time. Like, we need to turn, we need to make a decisive move to become like children and dependent upon God. Yeah, I was laughing too about this parable, because I do think, this is my gut. Tell me what you think about this. My gut is that when Jesus told this parable, people laughed when he got to the part and said there was a servant that owed the master 10,000 talents, because I think that's like $1 billion.
Yeah, it is a like multiple lifetimes worth of wages that this person owes.
It's just like, I don't know. I love I love that image, and I love people laughing, but I don't know. I think there's something about the extremity of that. He's just making this point. There's this absurdly large debt that gets owed. And then the other thing that I hadn't really thought about before was like that, to eat $1 billion debt is like on you can't even imagine. Like, you can't even like Elon Musk, you wouldn't expect him to eat $1 billion debt,
Yeah,
So
even when he has a lot of money, you know, he's not going to be like, oh, it's just $1 billion.
it's
No,
just
like
a
that's a
billion.
significant amount of money, no
That's a
matter how much you
significant.
have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think I have half that, I'll be honest with you,
I had doubts. I'm glad.
You make a really good point, Sam, and I hadn't thought about this. But no, that we live in a culture with a lot of debt. And I hadn't thought about it in terms of relating that way. I love that, and I love the image in my mind of like how that does two things for me, what you just said. First off, what I think about is that if someone forgave my debts, like if someone forgave my mortgage, which is not $1 billion, but if someone forgave my mortgage, it would be, I wouldn't even know what to say. It'd be unspeakably good. It would be such a blessing, and I couldn't just, I don't know, I don't think I have the words to describe how I'd feel.
Yeah, and that's just one aspect of the debt, right? There's the mortgage payment, there's the car payment. Eggs are $8 a dozen. There's student loan debt. There is so much debt that people take on. And even if we get like a little bit of it canceled, we're like, wow, that is really good news. But that's just one aspect of debt. And then all this monetary debt is nothing compared to the spiritual debt that we have. And so we're so quick to be like, yeah, man, if I got $30,000 forgiven, that would be such a huge relief. Okay, multiply that. And now multiply that even more, because the spiritual debt that we have is worth way more. Like, we can't buy our forgiveness. That's why it's been bought for us.
Exactly. And the fact is, like, What debt's been paid? The debt that's been paid for us is we don't go to hell. You know, like we don't have an eternity of suffering. We get to be exact opposite. We get to be in the eternal joy of being in the presence of Christ. Like that, man. And the thing is, like, when if you ask me on the street, like, what's my gut reaction to someone paying off a mortgage? That's huge. But then, like, I take this other gift for granted that is infinitely better.
I
You
know.
know.
Well, sometimes we get so we hear as Lutherans, and this is a really beautiful thing about Lutheranism, as Lutherans, we hear the good news. We hear the gospel every Sunday.
Yep.
And that's really beautiful. But man, don't let it get normalized. You
Right.
know, because it is so like this is happening to you. Your debt is being canceled. This infinite debt is being canceled. Every Sunday, and as us as pastors, when we say, as a called, ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you of all your sin, like that is crazy. Like you just got your mortgage paid off, you just got your car payment paid off, you just got this infinite spiritual debt paid off, and we're just like, oh yeah, that's just a part of Sunday. That's great.
Right,
Sick,
right.
sick. Love that.
How long is this going to take today, you know?
Yeah. Hey, the Bears got a noon game today test, so let's pick this up, eh?
That's right. That's right. Ramp it up.
Yeah,
Yeah.
wrap it up.
Oh gosh. No, it's sort of, I mean, I don't know. I appreciate it. This is kind of fun, like just the iron sharpening iron. Just get to hear your thoughts is sparking so many things, man. I love it.
Yeah.
So I mean, you've been a pastor for a while now, man. Like you've been in it for a while. How would you say like your sermon writing, your preparation, your writing, your process has changed over the last, however many 6 years, I guess, 7 years or yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny you asked that because I just went back to one of my sermons I preached in Chicago because I was coming up on a text to preach here. And I was like, hey, what did I preach on? And you know, shout out the people of Park Ridge who listened to my sermon straight out of seminary
Oh,
because
come on.
my sermons were like 25 to 2800 words long. And it was just, here's everything I know about the text. Please think that I'm smart coming out of seminary and that I didn't waste my education. But now they're probably about 16 to 1800 words, and I'm
Sure.
focused on just like one theme, one at like one part of the text, and then really unpacking that part rather than
Right.
maybe focusing on a couple of verses rather than the whole text as a whole and walking through it. But focusing on a couple verses that make a really prominent point on how we are to live our day-to-day lives in love and service to Christ and to our neighbor.
Well, I appreciate the there is a skill to making something shorter, right? And
Yeah.
that's a skill many people at St. Andrews wish I would develop even more. But no, you were good from the jump, man. Your sermons are always good from the jump. I never had trouble listening to you. I always enjoyed your sermons, but it is kind of fun to kind of find your speed, but it takes a lot of reps and it takes time to kind of get to the point where you kind of develop the style. I've had kind of a big shift in my style, even in the last 18 months or so. And it's just been kind of it's kind of funny. It's how it we're always getting molded and shaped and it's I don't know. It's good. It's good. But it is humbling because you just when you think you have everything figured out, God's like, hey, how about we try this? I'm like, okay, all right, okay.
Yeah. And you
So,
never
oh man.
know like what's going to jump out to you at the text. You know, you can read the text multiple times
Yeah.
and you can know a text, but then you'll read it again, you know, with the assigned pericopes, the lectionaries, and then you'll read it again. Like, I've never, how was that always in the text? You know, has that always been
Right.
in there? And yeah, it's just such a humbling thing preaching. And it's also the scariest thing in the world.
It's humbling. It's humbling, and especially I don't know. I think we talked about this probably multiple times that you were here. Those Sundays where you think like I wrote an awesome sermon. This is gonna kill. It's gonna be great. And
Yeah.
then no, nobody mentions it. And then the Sunday think like I was barely holding on. I don't. That was a terrible effort. And people say, man, that really moved me today or something. You're like, okay, all right. Well, I guess I don't really know what I'm doing. So it's okay.
you know, yeah. you've influenced my ministry a lot, man. And I just loved, you know, being under your leadership for the 4.5 years that I got to serve with you. And the Matt Hoffmanism that I always come back to when people compliment my sermon, they're like, "Hey, that was a great sermon, Pastor." I always say, I don't know if you remember saying this to me, but I say to them, "Well, to a starving world, a bologna sandwich is really good."
I do remember that conversation.
And I'm like, I am the bologna sandwich, man. Like, it is a starving world out there. And if yeah. you just get, like, you do not have to have a groundbreaking, like, revelation every Sunday that you preach. Like, just give people Christ crucified and risen for you. And they're going to be like, yes, this was a great sermon. I really needed that. I'm like, yeah, we all do.
We all do. Well, and I think that's the thing that came through with your preaching here, and I'm sure still is, is that when people understand that we're really preaching to ourselves, you know, like we're not standing on some platform yelling down at the crowd. We're in the pit with everybody, just saying, hey, this is where we're at, and this is where we're all at, and I think people mm-hmm. appreciate that. So, oh man, well, brother, I it's great to hear your voice. It's great to talk with you. We get to connect every now and then. But it was just, I don't know, just, what a joy to be with you. So I thank you for taking the time, and I know our people here at St. Angel will be really pumped to hear from their brother, Pastor Sam. So it'll be That's awesome. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Hey, let me pray for you. And then let's get on our way here. Lord God, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for Pastor Sam and his ministry. We ask that you bless their ministry, that it continues to thrive and do great things in Las Vegas as it reach many people. Be with us here at St. Andrews as we continue to serve our neighbors and hear your word and bless our preparation this week for the ministries that we're both participating in. May it be fruitful and may it be pleasing in your sight. All these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course, brother. All right, to St. Andrew's family, we'll see you soon.